Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Banca Transilvania results for the first quarter 2019. Today our speakers are Ömer Tetik, CEO, George Călinescu, CFO, and Mihaela Nădășan, Deputy CEO IR and FI. I will now hand you over to Mr. Ömer Tetik, CEO. Sir, please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you very much for joining us. We are also this time participating to our own teleconference from Sarajevo. We just joined the EBRD annual meeting, and hopefully the line connection and the voice quality is okay. As we said each time, we will try to make a short presentation and take some calls. In case we will not be able to finish in 1 hour, we will be glad to receive your questions or any other recommendations directly through our investor relations department. Mihaela's colleagues will take over and we'll try to answer, provide answers. Plus, for the ones who didn't check yet, our presentation is already up in the site. So I will try to follow the presentation for you to be a bit more easier, I would say. In regard to Romania, actually, last year the Romanian banking system, after several years, grew faster than the GDP in general. We faced also a good competition in the market. But how the end of the year and the beginning of 2019 was quite surprising for us. As you know, there were discussions about a new initiative on a banking tax, on a tax on banking assets, after 3 months of debate. And I would say it's a late stages, quite good dialogue between banking system, Minister of Finance and National Bank of Romania. We managed to, let's say, smoothen out and also to clarify some aspects of the initiative. So that the first month of this year, not only the banking system, but also the economy was very much on an expectative stage. There was less of action. In any case, traditionally, month of January is quite slow in terms of activity and growth, but this year was exceptionally slow. However, we see that in February, activity came back. And actually in March, even in let's say in this quarter, in the second quarter, we see quite good activity. As regard to, I will be going through banking sector first, because last year we have seen that the asset size reached 450 billion lei, the total asset size of the banking system, by a growth of 5%, and while the banking system is growing, the healthy growth is continuing also. The NPE ratio, non-performing exposure ratio, improved to below 5% during 2018, and this trend is continuing. However, the challenging part is that the banking sector, the assets growth is mainly on the household loans, consumption related. In 2019, first quarter of 2019, maybe also with the political drive and also, more focus, presidency of Romania and the European Union, European Council presidency, we see that the corporate loans started picking up. And in the first quarter of this year, we see almost 8% growth in the banking system of corporate loans, which more or less is equal to the growth of household loans, both housing and consumer loans included. The loans are definitely the focus is local currency lending, and the loan growth is coming mainly from there. The foreign currency loans are actually on a slight decreasing trend. This has been the trend for the last couple of years. But also the savings of Romanian households are increasing. which has brought the banking sector's loan to deposit ratio to below 80% level. Definitely besides the challenges we had with the tax, definitely we are very careful about and attentive about the developments in the region, emerging markets in general. There are lots of talks from bigger countries, including trade tariffs and other geopolitical tensions. On the other hand, there are populistic policies all around continents, all around the world, actually. But also the banking system is being challenged, I would say, from the good side, from the disruptive business model of the fintechs, where we are also trying to position ourselves. When we come back to BT, in the first quarter of 2019, the total assets of the bank reached almost 76 billion lei, with a very good capital adequacy ratio, solid performance and prudential performance there, 19.7%. Our net interest income has increased to 665 million lei, and the part that we enjoy presenting, because it's our very serious focus, the net fee and commission income also grew by 13% to 162 million. This growth of the net fee and commission income is coming despite the fact more and more services and products have been offered for free. Commissions have been decreased either by regulatory pressures or by competitive pressures. However, because we are increasing our business volumes, this is helping us to maintain a double-digit growth of increase. This is a trend that we want to maintain throughout the years, and definitely in the coming years, at least close to double-digit growth in this sense. Our net profit is at 400, the bank's net profit is at 436 million lei, growth by 19%. And we see that also with some with the synergies coming from Bancpost integration, after the successful integration of both entities, our cost-to-income ratio, if we exclude the deposit guarantee fund and resolution fund payments, we are back at 46%, so that in the coming quarters, we will be reporting the traditional cost-to-income ratio numbers. In, I'll say, our net interest margin is also individually stated, situated at 3.6%, and if you include the subsidiaries, it's at 3.75%. This is coming from our solid current account funding base. Meanwhile, as we are growing our loan portfolio, both at the bank and at the group level. And our pre-provision operating profits for the group reached 498 million, almost 500 million. Individually, it's at 408 million lei. The total loans of BT at the end of March are close to 39.5 billion lei. In consolidated terms, including our subsidiaries, we are close to 41.3 billion lei. This is, I would say, as we sense, although we don't have all the statistical data yet, our organic growth, the first quarter, our business growth had been faster than the market average. As we were saying, last year we grew mainly through acquisition and integration of Bancpost, but also our organic growth was at almost 7%. This year we want to maintain the pace and focus on the organic growth and profitability, profitable growth. Our NPL ratio is at a very healthy 3.09% for the bank only, and BT as the financial group enjoys equity of 8.2 billion lei, out of which 7.4 billion are of the bank, and our tier 1 capital ratio is for the bank individual 15.70%, As for the group, 15.95%, sorry. And for the group, it's 15.15%. Our net interest income had been increasing 28% in the first quarter, and commission income, as I said, already 13%. The part of the boost in the net interest income definitely is coming from the portfolio that we acquired from Bankpost. Net trading income is also well up at, by 33%, which gave us the final result of these healthy numbers. This year, due to our growth in deposits, amounts, household deposits, plus our market share and positioning of the bank, the calculation of the deposit guarantee fund, the resolution fund, have changed. That's why we have slightly more expense, which had been booked in the first quarter in the numbers that you see already, so that this is already digested. Otherwise, we see a pre-provision operating profit up 19% as compared to last year. Our, as I said, our deposits, our loan growth was quite equally both on the corporate segment and also on the household segment. In the corporate, in the company segment, if I may say so, we are growing further in SME and micro lending, where we have our good reputation and market positioning. But also in the retail loans, we are growing very good in the credit cards, overdrafts, which are, let's say, higher margin, short-term maturity products. And also these are the products which increase customer loyalty for us. In regard to the loan portfolio quality, our PAR 90 non-performing loan ratio is at 3.02%. And including the collaterals, mortgage collaterals we have, our coverage ratio is at 114%, 134%, sorry. Having a wide network and also taking over the Bankpost customers, our deposit base is quite strong. Actually, we are saying that we aim to increase our loan-to-deposit ratio, sorry, it is decreasing. But it is decreasing on a healthy basis because profitable basis because it, as I said, most of the funds coming for the deposit accounts are through the salary payments or turnovers of the businesses. But also at the end of first quarter, there was a exceptional increase in the current accounts due to the treasury payments which were being prepared for the month of April. So that part of our deposits had been offloaded during month of April, but this is not significant amount. In retail banking, we are at 2.7 million active customers. And during first quarter, we have given 21,000 non-card related retail loans. We, based on the numbers available, we forecast our market share at 16.4%. And with 3.8 million cards, we are market leaders in payments business. So our market, our POS network is well over 50,000 POSs and ATMs. I would like, and also 1,800 ATMs. SME business, where we are quite strong, reached 295,000 customers in the first quarter of this year, and during the first quarter we have granted over 4,000 loans. Now there will be also exceptional activity most probably in the second quarter because of the Startup Nation program, but we think that in the second quarter and third quarter the guidance, our SME loans growth will be even faster than the first quarter. And in the corporate banking, we are, in the segments that we are quite strong, we continue our growth with corporate loans reaching 12.99 billion. And Fatih, we see that more activity is coming, more demand is coming. Also from the government, we see more tenders happening, so that this will have its own ripple effects in the economy, because there are bigger companies participating to those tenders, but they look for suppliers, they look for subcontractors. So it will be an extended activity. And I think with our team and our liquidity and our product, we are well positioned to grow there. Our, I'll say, in terms of group, we are happy to see that our subsidiaries, BT Leasing, BT Micro Financing, BT Direct, and ERS, Euroline Retail Services, they have good contribution both to the balance sheet and to the activity of the bank. Actually, when we add them up, besides the bank, they are making themselves a bank which would enter probably in the first 10 banks of Romania. And now we are, I guess, the only financial group which offers a range of, a full range of products from asset management, capital markets, micro-lending, consumer finance, banking, traditional banking, and investment banking, large corporate business, and so on. Thank you very much so far for listening to us. Just as a to provoke maybe a further question, I would like to mention also two things. One is related to the digitalization of the bank. We are very happy to see that our number of customers using our mobile banking application is over 600,000. Our BT Pay, our wallet application, is over 300,000 already. And as you most probably heard about the media and different reports, we are preparing to launch Apple Pay in Romania. Technically, we are able to launch it as of today. We are expecting Apple to decide with other banks' participation to announce the launching date. So that our ATM network, we had been heavily investing in recyclers. These are self-banking devices. Already a quarter of our ATM network is those recycler devices or multi-banking, self-banking devices. We think that already we raised expectations on BT and what BT can deliver, but we are also happy to see that our customers are using more and more these channels. On the other hand, there might be questions. So based on the tax, banking tax, the banks started to switch to a new reference rate, which is called IRCC. Although it is not related to the first quarter, all our products had been adapted, and we see that in the market, as it was expected, the margins were, let's say, adapted to the new reference rate, so that as we will be loyal and committed to deliver the net interest margin that we have communicated in our budgets and in our previous discussions. Thanks a lot again. We can switch to questions.
Thank you. We will now start question and answer session. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding until we have our first question. Our first question comes from the line which ends with 200. Please introduce yourself and go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello, yes.
Yes, so this is Cătălin Diaconu from Raiffeisen Bank. So I have four questions. How do you prefer? Should I put them all at once or separately?
Cătălin, put the questions one after another, and if in case we will miss one or two, you will remind us.
Okay, understood. So the first question would be, why there is such a big difference between standalone and then consolidated results? So for last year, for example, the difference was only 50 million lei or something like that for the full year, and now it's already 70 million. Are the subsidiaries so profitable this year? And should we expect the same trend also in the coming quarters? The second question would be, how much were the recoveries of NPLs in the first quarter? Because once again, the cost of risk was positive. The third question would be, if there were any other one-offs in the first quarter results, anything related to, I don't know, evaluation of loans from Bank Post or other things. And the fourth question would be, why did the deposit insurance cost jump for the entire sector, so not only for Banca Transilvania? What was the reasoning from the guarantee fund? Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine. I will try to answer one by one, but in terms of the differences between contribution of subsidiaries, yes, I mean, we are glad to see that our subsidiaries are contributing more, but also you have to think, you have to keep in mind that Victoria Bank contribution became very substantial to the numbers. That's why, I may say that we have finalized our balance sheet cleaning and we already started getting the benefits of growth there.
And if you are looking at the way in which, let's say, excluding Bank Post, the consolidation of the second and the third quarter were during last year, there you would see as well the contribution coming from Victoria. Only in the first quarter, the contribution from Victoria was not that significant last year, so that the difference on a quarter-to-quarter basis is more significant for the first quarter of 2019.
And as per the Deposit Guarantee Fund and Resolution Fund, there had been a couple of changes in the calculation because before it was only Deposit Guarantee Fund. Starting from last year, if I'm not wrong, the Resolution Fund entered into calculation. While the Deposit Guarantee Fund contributions decreased, there was another addition there. There is a matrix, a calculation matrix by the authorities, which is based on, I mean, as you said, for whole market, it increased. It is related to the growth of the market, macroeconomic expectations, risks foreseen, and systemic banks' possible risks. So, although I cannot give a, let's say, full clear details now on the phone, this had been for whole market, and I guess this we will say that from now on, we shall be expecting this every year such an increase. But again, I repeat, the impact had been booked and digested in the first quarter, so it will not be a repetitive event. In terms of one-offs, there are no one-offs or substantial one-offs that accept this. And in terms of NPL recoveries,
so what we can say is the gross expense with provisions was minimum, so it was a 0.8, like we were estimating for the whole year. And to that one, we are adding the recoveries so that we are coming to the plus. More or less, the gross expense is very much in line with what we were having last year as well, with the profile of our loan center. With the expectations and with the public statements we were doing, we were having over time with regard to this item.
Okay, understood. Thank you very much.
I think we were covering all the four questions you were having.
Yes. No, so it's okay. Thank you.
Our next question from the participant. From the line, which ends 618. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Tunde from Harden Lovner. Just two follow-up questions for me. The first will be sort of a follow-up from what the last caller asked about the difference between the standalone and the consolidated. You said it's mostly coming from Victoria Bank, but can you elaborate more on the changes you've made there specifically, and if you expect this sort of, you know, strong performance to continue at Victoria Bank, because it was quite significant in this quarter. So if you can get into a little bit more details on what has changed there. The second question for me is on the reference rate that has the IRCC you mentioned earlier. My understanding is this only impacts consumer loans. Correct me if I'm wrong. Have you switched all your consumer loans to the reference rate? And do you anticipate, is this going to impact the outstanding loans, which means the existing loans, or does this just apply to new loans? And if that's the case, do you see a risk of our clients sort of refinancing their loans to this new rate because it's probably lower? You know, just correct me that assumption is wrong. And if I put all of this together, what should we think about your net interest margin? You know, in Q1, it was 3.61 for the standalone bearing. Do you think you'll be able to maintain that 3.61 for the rest of the year?
So, I will start with the second question as regards to the IRCC. It is, as you said, it's only for household lending. It's only for retail customers, and it's only for new loans, so that the existing loan portfolio is not impacted by the reference rate change. But on the other hand, as we see, and as we did also at BT, switching from ROBOR, just arithmetically, the absolute rates more or less remain the same. Definitely there will be pressure and there will be competition, but just bear in mind that we have a huge liquidity that we are placing in, let's say, close to zero rate, excess liquidity, so that even in case competition will force us to move the rates a bit slower, we are quite comfortable that we will continue delivering our net interest margin of 3.5-3.6% this year and the next year ahead. So, we are not saying that we are happy about all those changes, but on the other hand, we are comfortable that we can digest and also answer the challenges. As regards to the first question,
sorry, can I follow up on this on your answer to this one? You mentioned you can move your existing funds from zero to something. Can you repeat? I didn't get that part of the explanation.
No, as regards to the net interest margin, besides our loan portfolio, we have other assets. And being a bank with close to 60% loan-to-deposit ratio, we have also low-interest-bearing assets, liquid assets that we keep. So in case either competition or any other initiative will put pressure on the interest rate, we will be, as long as there will be capacity to sell those loans in the market, there will be demand in the market, we can grow our asset base.
Okay, I get it.
Yeah, and with regard to your first question, our CFO would like to answer, because it's a matter of not having it having zero impact during 2018 and now having an impact during 2019. George?
Yes. What I wanted to mention is that indeed the contribution of Victoria Bank is significant. So if you put things into perspective, the contribution in this quarter is a little bit higher than all the contribution of the other subsidiaries in the last quarter of last year. But when you compare it with nothing in the first quarter, because we consolidated starting the second quarter of 2018, the impact is quite significant. So that's the reason why you see such a big difference. You compare 36 million with zero last year.
So it's 36
from
million
the normal course
from,
of business.
So it's 36
million
from Victoria
from
Bank.
Victoria Bank.
This quarter.
Yes.
Yeah, and what you said you've finished cleaning up the balance sheet and any other changes you've made at Victoria Bank that is notable?
Well, in Victoria Bank, we entered the bank beginning of last year. During 2018, we were preparing everything in terms to make sure that regulations, internal norms are in line with the group's, let's say, the group's directions and business profile. We will have appointed our board of directors there, the executive management, so that during 2019, we are having now the right infrastructure and platform in order to start really selling and going to the markets with the products and with the approach we are comfortable and we are in control with.
I mean, as you may expect, when we entered the bank, when we started changing management and some rules, actually, last year, for a few months, we almost stopped the activity. But then, we started rebuilding and relaunching product services. In the first quarter of this year, as per the limited information we have about the market growth, we are the market leader in terms of new production, and we are quite positive. We have a very good brand image and customer satisfaction, so we have good expectations from Victoria Bank.
Okay, that's very helpful. So if 36 million is the profit from Victoria Bank in Q1, so what are the other big subsidiaries that account for the difference between the standalone and the group? Because the difference that I can see is it's about 70-ish million.
It's the leasing subsidiary,
okay,
which had been always a good contributor also earlier. Our asset management arm had been always a profitable, it counted a lot. But also, if you look at our microfinance subsidiary, which doubled its contribution as compared to last year, and our collection company, our third-party collection company, has doubled its performance. So all of them are adding up to this good performance, I would say.
Okay. Sorry, just last question from me before I hang up. It's the question I asked earlier on the reference rate. Given that you've moved your new consumer loans now to the new reference rate, are those rates significantly lower for those household loans compared to your existing loans?
But the idea is that while the reference rate is lower, the margins increased. So when it was before, for example, ROBOR plus 3%, now it is the new reference plus 4%.
Got it.
That's why the absolute rates are the same. And IRCC is quite a volatile reference rate, actually. We will try to follow. So we don't want to impact negatively our customers on those changes. But on the other hand, we didn't want to convert it into a dumping action.
Okay. Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line which ends with 447. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. This is Alex Bulgouris from Wood & Company. On this reference rate again, if I may ask, this refers to consumer loans, if I'm correct. But is there a discussion also to for mortgages as well? Because I think there is some debate as well regarding mortgages. And given that the rate is the same, you do not see any refinancing taking place as for the customer. It doesn't make a big difference. Is that assumption correct? This is my first question. And my second question, sorry, again, on that subsidiary is that my previous colleagues have asked again. So it's about 70 million in the first quarter, the difference between consolidated and individual, and this is a recurring number that we can consider going forward, that the income from the subsidiaries could be at that level, because it sounds quite high, around 250, 300 million per year. Income from net profit from subsidiaries. Is that a reasonable number with Victoria Banks and leasing and asset management? Thank you.
As regard to leasing and Victoria Bank, we are expecting their performance to continue. In terms of collection, asset management, and other activities, I'll say this is very seasonal, and it depends on the activity. In terms of microfinance, although we consider that the performance will continue, it's a very the contribution is very small. So even if it if you maintain this twice higher profitability on our subsidiary, the part contribution to the bottom line is still very, very, very small to be felt. But in general, as compared to last year, definitely we are expecting much, much better performance. As regard to your first question on the reference rate, the reference rate, is the new reference is applicable to all retail loans, including mortgage loans, excluding, not including, excluding government-related prima casa loans. So the debate that you mentioned is related to the shall the prima casa will be included or not.
Prima casa.
I'll say, I would say that the customers, because all the debate about banking tax, about the reference rate, is being followed by a very limited percentage of whole Romanian population. People on the streets, even maybe bankers on the streets, I would say at the front office level, they are not very much into the hot debate, and they didn't make yet the differentiation. So that's why it's very difficult for me to tell, starting with 2nd of May until today, we see a huge change. But on the other hand, I'll say we have seen that the pricing levels between banks are quite close to each other because of the tough competition. Then the banks are then the customers are preferring the bank which is available through many channels and with a larger network, where we are positioned very well. Also, our brand image and NPS, the promoter score, is quite high. So the word of mouth, our image will help as well. However, it's very early to discuss about changing customers' preferences. On the other hand, we do not expect the cost of financing to change drastically just because of the reference rate change, because while the our cost of funding didn't decrease because the reference rate changed, or the treasury bill rate didn't decrease because the reference rate changed, it will be, we don't expect an immediate huge impact, but more clear guidance we can give only at the end of second quarter, when we will have at least 3 months of living with this new reference rate.
Okay, thank you very much. Just want to follow up regarding deposits. I mean, because we're seeing continued deposit increase and liquidity is extremely high, and this may start to hurt NIMs at some point. I mean, is there any plan to start trying to, you know, not to grow the deposit book even, anymore, or even declining it by pricing or being more selective? I don't know. Is there a strategy there?
I mean, we consider the current account and deposit relationship crucial to our customer loyalty and customer retention. As I said, we are a salary card or salary account provider, salary card provider. We have strong current account deposits at zero interest rates from micro companies, SME companies, or also our retail customers. So, although definitely getting more and more difficult to find ways to place those assets, we are not losing money out of it. So we are always placing at a positive margin. The margin differentiates between definitely loans and other types of placements, but we are happy about this, because at this very low interest rate environment, just imagine that, when we discuss about 10-20 basis point difference for the deposit rate, the payment commissions, the POS commissions, margins on the foreign exchange transactions sometimes are covering either even the cost of 1 year funding for a deposit. That's why I'll say we think that our focus was right so far, and we are almost sure that it will prove in the future also right, because the customers are choosing the bank as their main partner, where they keep their deposits, where they have the biggest trust. That's why we do not, I would refrain using the words trying to decrease or trying to offload deposits. Although the, it looks inefficient, if you look just at the loan-to-deposit ratio, for us it's a very profitable ball game.
Okay, thanks. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from the line which ends with 156. Please introduce yourself and go ahead.
Hello, everyone. This is Robert Jova from QLBP Securities. I have two follow-up questions. One regarding the cost of risk. And my question is as follows. Wasn't sort of a one-off resultant, for example, from a loan book review that you did at the end of the year and then you sold off additional NPLs during the first Q? Or should we expect more of such releases to happen throughout the year? And second, about the operating costs, is the current level of the depreciation charge plus general costs sort of more or less the run rate which we should expect for the remainder of the year? Or do you expect some one-off, for example, related to further restructuring, consolidation to affect the cost base going forward? Thank you.
Okay, so with regard to the cost of risk, no, we were not having any kind of NPLs being sold during the first quarter. They were just recoveries in the normal course of business, let's say, in the normal way in which we were trying to follow up on previously non-performing loans. And, well, we are not really, let's say, believing or looking to have the same kind of releases throughout the year. So, as you know, we were always stating and budgeting a cost of risk, which is like the average we are considering throughout an economic cycle. And more or less, we are keeping this as our official statement. Clearly, we are doing our best when it comes to, let's say, properly managing our loan book, so that whenever we have the chance to have better recoveries, to make sure that we are doing our best in order to properly behave there. With regard to the operating costs, just a small remark. So the depreciation was not like a real growth. It's a way in which IFRS 16 is having the impact when it comes to two lines of the expense positions of the bank. Rent-related expenses are no longer a general operating expense, but those are booked like depreciation. And that's why you are seeing such a big jump
yes.
in depreciation compared to last year. And
exactly.
If you are looking at how, let's say, the overall operating income have behaved versus overall operating expenses, you are seeing that, in fact, those trends are just following what Bankpost was needing as extra assets. And in the end, the fact that from combining two entities which were having a relatively different cost-income ratio, mainly that BT was having last year in the first quarter a cost-income ratio of 45%, and Bankpost was having by that time a cost-income ratio of 75%. And now, when we have them combined and after we have done the integration and restructuring actions on what Bankpost infrastructure was meaning, we are coming to a cost-income ratio which is of 46%. So we are just following with expenses and income the trend of what the activity of Bankpost was meaning, but already brought to somehow the performance what BT on a standalone basis was meaning back in 2018.
So the combined personnel, general, and depreciation charge costs is more or less this what was charged in the first Q is more or less indicative for the subsequent quarters, of course, with some add-on for the organic business growth. Is that correct understanding?
Yeah, That should be the right way to look at it. Only that you have to take into account that during the first quarter we had that big negative impact coming from the contribution to the
resolution fund
and deposit fund, which is going to flatten out throughout the year.
Yes, right. Thank you very much.
So, our next question comes. Yes.
Sorry for that. Let's have one more question, and then remaining of the questions we'll be glad to answer in the course of next day. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Our next question from the line, which ends 903. Please introduce yourself and go ahead.
Oh, hi. Thanks very much. It's Simon Nellis from Citibank. I joined the call a bit late, so I was hoping you could give an update on how much bank tax you actually intend to pay this year. I'm sorry if you've already mentioned that figure. And then I'm a little confused on the cost of risk guidance. So what are you saying for this year? Is this year going to be a year of net provision write-backs? Is that what you're saying? Or what is the guidance on cost of risk? Thank you.
Hi there. As regard to banking tax, I mean, when speaking about the banking tax, the positive word of how much we intend to pay, we don't feel comfortable about this. But on the other hand, based on the advices from our auditors and the markets, as far as we know, the market practice, in the first quarter, the number that you see doesn't include the banking tax. It is not impacted by the banking tax. But as we already mentioned in our first quarter press release, if we would have been including a kind of a amortized impact, it would be around 30-35 million lei for the first quarter. So this year, we are saying that in the based on the asset classes included, and the calculation presented by the methodology, including the incentives that might be, we will be paying around 140 million lei, which is already in the budget. 140 million lei is around 33-34 million euros.
That includes the incentives from, yeah.
No, that doesn't include the incentives because we were offering some guidance on that on our previous call. We don't want to, motivate ourselves on the incentives because there are two incentives. One is related to the net interest margin decrease. I don't think, the calculation arithmetically doesn't pay itself. The second one is regard to a 50% decrease of the tax. As regard to the growth, we have budgeted 7% growth, and the tax incentive is for 8% or more. But on the other hand, we don't want to be excessively positive about lending or go to the more gray areas. This 8% growth. Something that we might touch, we might reach, but this should be a nice surprise so that in the, worst-case scenario, based on the initial guidance and methodology officially announced, the tax impact should be around 140 million lei.
Very clear, thanks.
Okay. As regards to cost of risk, we have budgeted 90 basis points cost of risk, and I think this year that will be the end of year result. So we are not expecting continuous write-backs or exceptional recoveries.
And why is that? Why would it pick up so much from being a write-back in the first quarter? Why would it turn so negative?
It's not a matter that we are really thinking that something will happen with the quality of our loan book. It's only that we definitely have to take into account that the market might not only go on the right side when it comes to market valuation of all the collaterals, when it comes to the way in which different recovery actions are having the ending results. So that's why if you are looking throughout, let's say, all our last couple of years, we were trying to be on the conservative side with the level of the cost of risk we were budgeting and to make sure that we are able to meet a bottom line of a certain level when it comes to the net profit, even though, let's say, if provisions would be higher than what we were able in the end to deliver. That was the valid for the last 3 years. Because there are also items which are not fully under our control.
Okay, thank you.
I mean, we are very strong in retail banking and micro-lending. We had been saying this very often. A normal cost of risk should be hundreds, depending on your definite the market and pricing, from 100 to 150 basis points. It's true that in the last couple of years, we have over-budgeted cost of risk, and we have so kind of performed much better. But first quarter of each year is also quite positive period. There are lots of transactions coming from the Christmas period. Salaries are increased, bonuses are paid, so that everybody's payment performances are much better every year. That's why we think that maintaining the prudent approach is much more healthy for us instead of getting much more aggressive, because we are also basing our pricing and our business model scorings on those.
And also to not forget that during the first quarter we are usually booking subsequent events which are related to 2018 and usually go as provisions for the previous year, further to the way in which auditors are looking at the evolution of different exposures. So that is also contributing to a more positive cost of risk, positive in terms of net income position, let's say, compared to next quarters when, let's say, everything was related to 2019 in the end stays in 2019, while in the first quarter, some of the, let's say, potential provisions of the first quarter were booked already in 2018 results.
Okay, thank you.
This was the last question for today. Dear speakers, back to you for the conclusion.
Thank you very much for joining us. We will be posting also the transcript of the conversation at our website. And for further questions, as I said, we will try to answer them timely once we are back in Romania. And hope to see you and hear you soon when we have the second quarter discussions. Have a nice day.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participating. You may now disconnect.